Okay, hey, we're back with our final podcast.
Yay!
Kind of sad, actually, but not really, because it's finally about to be over. But today we're going to explore Chapter 8, that's called The Post-Hoc Rides Again.
So in this book, they start off the chapter by talking about the smoker. How smoking has a correlation with good grades. So if you smoke, you're less likely to have bad grades. And if you give up smoking,
If you smoke,
you end up with bad grades.
Yeah, that's what causes you to have low grades.
Yeah, and if you give up smoking, you have good grades. So in this chapter, they talk about this relationship when there's a clear relationship. But however, you don't know what's the cause and effect. One causes the other one.
Yeah, but basically they're talking about how, studies will, draw conclusions on things when there are, outside factors that are just as likely the reasoning for the relationship, mm-hmm. occurring, but they don't, say that. They say something else.
Yeah.
And they say, oh, this variable is the sole reason that this relationship exists. Without taking into account the other tons of variables that could explain that relationship.
One of the key things, it said B follows A, and then A causes B.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was really interesting how they put that. So they were just saying that, smoking follows good grades. So, smoking is the result of, smoking follows bad grades. So smoking is the result of bad grades. And so, but then A could, no, wait, actually it's the other way around.
They were saying that smoking causes a dull mind and thus low grades.
Mm-hmm.
And they were saying that, introverts smoke, even though it is very much more likely that extroverts would smoke, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and,
Or that low grades is what causes students to smoke because they're stressed out about their grades, so they mm-hmm. smoke to relieve that stress. And there's tons of other factors that, would be the reason that that the students have low grades or that they smoke. They're all very likely, but the people that are trying to, have an agenda or drive mm-hmm. Some propaganda, they wouldn't, include any of the other variables, only the ones that backed up their thought process or the conclusion they're trying to draw.
So they said that the correlation leads to a conclusion, but it can be produced by chance.
Yeah.
So that goes into you have all those other variables that can lead to something. Have you ever considered talking about how much the student applies themselves?
Yeah.
That could be one of the reasons. I could get good grades if I wanted to, but they're kind of average. But it only depends on how much I apply myself.
Yeah.
So that can be available, even though I don't smoke. Mm-hmm. I know a lot of people here who smoke, and they still get good grades. They're, one of the top people here. So
that's so true.
So,
trying to spill the tea on the podcast?
Not say any names.
Okay. So one of the examples with the correlation being produced by chance was the whole toothpaste thing.
Mm-hmm.
And the people there were trying to say that they were referring to another example in one of the previous chapters, and they were saying how the toothpaste reduces tooth decay.
Mm-hmm.
And with that, in order to, promote the specific brand of toothpaste, they would get rid of any result. They would, do a test and an experiment, and then what they would do is they would get rid of, any results that didn't agree with their intent, and they just published the ones that did.
Mm.
And by doing that, that would create a large correlation, even though if you included the ones that didn't agree with the experiment, the correlation wouldn't be as strong.
Mm. That's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
That's the perfect example of statistical manipulation. And that's not only passing, the common covariation,
mm-hmm.
which is just, determining what's the cause and effect, but, actively going and, removing data that is not supported is, completely biased and totally crazy.
Mm-hmm.
So.
But same. Also, at some point, they were talking about variables that had no relationship, but there was a correlation.
Mm-hmm.
Like, one part of the chapter was talking about the salaries of Presbyterian, like, ministers
mm-hmm.
in Massachusetts and the price of rum in Havana. There wasn't any relationship between those two, but there was a correlation.
I don't even know why they would, like, make us a study based off of that, though. None of those things...
Because they can. Like, I feel, from what I'm getting is that even though there might not be a relationship between, like, two variables, like, you can basically, like, take anything and make it have a correlation if you try really hard. Because, like, when I first read that, I was like, what would the salaries of these ministers and the price of rum have anything to do with each other? They're in two different places.
Mm-hmm. It's funny because, like,
yeah.
That's what we did a mini project on
this
quarter. I was like, none of this stuff has anything to do with each
other. Yeah, it's the same exact thing.
Yeah. So now I understand that. Thank you, Mr. Miles.
But with that example, they were saying that there was actually, there was a factor that was creating or influencing the relationship between the two,
mm-hmm.
and that was, like, the historical and worldwide rise in the price of everything.
Mm-hmm.
So that is, like, what created the correlation between those two.
That's ridiculous. Like, imagine what, like, based off of that study, imagine what, like, the news and the media would do to that.
I mean, I don't know. I feel like you can create, you can make a correlation between anything
mm-hmm.
if you try really hard. You know how with, what's it called? Michelle and I think it was Ava's project.
Like rape with and,
milk, I think it was.
Oh, yeah, milk and rape, yeah.
Yeah.
That made no sense. No offense.
Like those who... Yeah, those who I think it was like those who drink milk are like murderers or rapists or
mm-hmm.
whatever. See, like no, I'm pretty sure no one ever thought that there was like a correlation between the two, but they made it happen. And I guess in this book, this is like an exact example of that same thing.
Mm-hmm.
So if you think about it now, like if I was like a company that was trying to coerce people into buying my TV set because it raised your IQ, then I feel like I could do something like that.
Yeah.
If I was, I feel like you could convince people of anything if you just have some numbers and a graph to back it up.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't even matter what that graph really says because people will just look at how high the numbers are and they'll look at the Y and X axis and see the relationship. They're like, oh, this is a good idea or this is a good buy and I should, you know, invest in that.
Yeah. So, like, those correlation conclusions can, like, totally be blown out of proportion, which goes back to the Common Core variation,
mm-hmm.
Where either, like, where there's, like, a real correlation, or yet the variables have an effect on each other,
uh-huh.
or it can be the other way around, where, like, you see the correlation, but, like, you know that, like, it's just conscience-wise that you know that the variables... I mean, the cause and effect don't really relate to each other.
Mm.
So, yeah.
Okay, so at some point, Mr. Miles also wanted us to address what a semi-attached figure was.
Mm-hmm.
From what I got, a semi-attached figure is when you're wanting to prove something. There's, like, you want to prove that there's, like, a relationship between two variables, but can't.
Mm-hmm.
So use something else in its place and pretend that, like, it's the same exact thing and make comparisons. And so people will be like, oh, because that is like that, and they must be the same.
Yeah.
So,
but they actually have nothing to do with each other.
Yeah, so that I feel like that's similar to what
mm-hmm.
Chapter 8 covers in the, you know, whole talk about the two variables that don't have any relationship, but there is a
yeah.
correlation. I think those two are similar because what is talked about in Chapter 8 and with the semi-attached figure... you can essentially, in my opinion, make a relationship or correlation out of anything.
Mm-hmm. That goes back to Ava and Michelle's project, Rape and Milk, which, like, there's basically a semi-attached figure, and they have nothing to do with each other. So, yeah.
What exactly did you take away from this chapter? What are you, like...
What I can take away is, like, when I'm watching the news, and, like, there's all these studies, and they're talking about, like, how wine can help cure heart disease or something like that. Or how...
I heard wine is actually good for you.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. I heard that people who, like, drink a glass of wine a day are just as healthy as those who don't. I think the thing that causes, like, the actual heart disease are, like, the drinks, like, alcoholic beverages, like vodka and beer and stuff, like the heavy alcohol. But wine's a bit different.
That's true, but I feel like there's so many other reasons, like, without, like, taking wine, there's so many other ways that you can, like, reduce your chance and prevent getting heart disease by, like, eating healthier.
Yeah, like, not eating, like, red meat. Like,
because, yeah, a lot of people, like, oh, they're like, oh, okay, so I want to drink red wine. Most time when you drink red wine, you might have a meal with that, so, like, you eat whatever you want. And, like, just because you drink red wine doesn't excuse the way you live and your life habits.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, if your life habits, like, aren't healthy, then even if you drink that red wine, it still, like, may not help your chances of preventing heart disease. So, it, like, a lot of things play in the situation. So, there's a lot of factors.
True.
Yeah. So, what did you take away?
I guess I realized... Well, I guess this reassures what I've been thinking for a super long time with statistics. I mean, I always thought it was weird how, like, you'll see, like, stats on stuff and like, studies that draw conclusions on various topics. Mm-hmm. And I always thought, like, okay, well, are you sure that's, like, the only reason, you know, B came after A?
Yeah.
Are you sure there are any other factors that have gone into why the relationship of A and B even exists, you know?
Yeah, you have to put all the factors in play.
Yeah, because I'm like...
You can't make those crazy conclusions.
Yeah, because I start thinking, you know, like, for example, the reason that, like, someone goes out in the sun and gets burned, is it because...
They don't have sunscreen on?
That, is it because they don't have sunscreen on?
Or is the skin of the color of their skin?
That. Or is it because it's the sun, the temperature is unusually hot?
Mm-hmm.
Or is it because is it because they're outside for a certain amount of time? Mm-hmm. Does that affect how intense the sunburn is or the condition of their skin?
What are they wearing?
Yeah. Is their skin thin?
Mm-hmm.
Like, is their skin dry? Is it oily? Is it a combination? Does that have an effect on why they get burned?
Are they hairy?
Exactly. I feel like there's not, like, just one reason why certain things happen. And I think that's what this chapter really, like, assured for me.
I feel like a lot of, like, statistical analysis people, like, they're really smart, but they may be, like, really lazy in a way because, like, all that's, like, what we just talked about with the sunscreen, like, that's a lot of information to include and a lot of variables. And depending on your sample size, it may, like, take you a long time to get, like, it may take you a couple of years to, like, really, like, pin down all that data and, like, come to a good conclusion based off of that. So I feel like a lot of the analysis may be getting lazy with, like, the data and not trying to take the extra steps to ensure that you get the correct and accurate conclusion based off the data. So they just, like, may take the easy way out and, like, not include all the variables.
Okay. So. Well, I think that is chapter 8.
Mm-hmm.
That's all we can really say about it.
Yeah.
Thank you. And we'll see you in chapter 9.
Yep.
Bye.
Bye.
Okay, hey, we're back with chapter 9. It is called How to
hard to pronounce. Tongue twister.
Yeah.
So this chapter is about misinforming people with the use of statistical material, aka statistical manipulation. So in this book, the analysis they have, they make these studies with the intent to deceive.
Yeah, but one thing they bring up is that not all statisticians aim to deceive. Mm-hmm. It's that, like, what a statistician might present to, like, a company or salesman or other professional might be, like, 100% the truth. But when it's given to them, they can manipulate that word, they might show a completely different, like, outcome based on what they want the audience to know.
Yeah. So, and then they talk about in this chapter how a lot of people, like, they twist it and they exaggerate it and oversimplify it. And most of this is done by salespeople, public relations experts, journalists, advertising, people like that. So that, I think Fox News fits into this category. So
one of the examples they use is called the, is that of the map?
Yeah, it's the map. So yeah, there's the favorite way to, it's to distort like data is using the map. So in this map, they talk about the government spending and each state. So they have the map of the United States, and so one is the Western style and one is the Eastern style. So looking at this map, okay, so I'm like, the way I interpret it without like going into context about what it actually means is like, so the Western states spend more money because the Western states are all shaded in. And the Western states are bigger than the Eastern states. And so the Eastern states, there are like a few Eastern states shaded in.
These are like Midwest.
Yeah. And also, yeah, a lot of them are Midwest also. But like in the Eastern states, the Eastern states are smaller, but they're all, most of them are shaded in. Not all of them. However, you know, what's tricky about this graph, I mean this map, is that, you know, since the states are not proportionate to each other and they're bigger than each other, you can't really rely on the map because the states are bigger than bigger than the other eastern states, it doesn't mean that the western states are spending more than the eastern states.
Yeah, because if you think about it, They purposely shaded in the states with the largest areas, which are pretty much like a majority of the western ones, while the eastern ones have smaller areas. And if you think about it, like you think, oh, they're shading in these large states, those populations must be very, very high.
Yeah. When they're clearly not, it's clearly the
smallest. So then altogether, they would have like the highest income between all of the states, well, compared to the eastern. And so people would say, oh, you know, the government is using a ton of this money, blah, 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 blah. But it was later showed that if you shaded in, if the person who made the map just shaded in a group of in-between states whose area is the same in relation to the area of the country, then their total income would be the national income.
Mm-hmm.
It would be just as accurate. And they, for the eastern side, they only had the shade in Pennsylvania and New York.
And then a few other small states like New Jersey and
Massachusetts and Delaware,
Connecticut,
and Maryland. If they had just shaded in those couple states, then it would have been just as fine. But, you know, for dramatic effect, you have to, manipulate some stuff.
Yeah. So I would have definitely been deceived by that. But now thinking about it, like, Philadelphia, like, the Eastern states that are shaded in, like, New York and Philly, you know, I feel like they use a whole lot more money, especially with all the construction around the city and whatnot, and all of these projects. I feel like they use a whole lot more money than the Western states, because if you go out into the Western states, it's like you're in the middle of nowhere.
Another thing that they mentioned in this chapter are about percentages. They're saying that like decimals, they create like an aura of like elusiveness or an exactness.
Yeah.
And that percentages, when they're, like, based off of small numbers, they can be really misleading.
Yeah. And they have, they can have a shifting base when percentages are taking off different totals to imply different amounts.
Mm-hmm.
So, when added together, they can be used in other ways.
Yeah, so, like, it's just, they basically said that just give the figure itself, like, don't... so like if I wanted to, if I said that like so-and-so is 51% accurate, it'd be better to just say, you know, this is 51.37 99% accurate.
Yeah.
Than that.
Wow. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, I feel like it really wouldn't make a difference, like, for that.
Yeah,
point.
In my opinion.
So, another thing is they say that statistics is the art of science. There's a great, there are many great manipulations and the distortions that you know, make this become an art.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like discovering science and math with statistical data and whatnot. And so, like, you're trying to, like, dress it in a way that it seems persuasive and seems like, you know, once it grabs people's attention. So, like, I feel like statistics in this way becomes more like a game.
Mm-hmm.
And try to, like, see who can win, who can, you know, make the product or make whatever they're trying to sell look better.
So,
oh, yeah. Wait, also, like, when you're, like, looking in magazines and stuff, just give it a, like, you know, a good, sharp look. Like, I've definitely, like, so, like, after reading this book, like, I feel...
No, the magazines and stuff.
Yeah, I feel like I've definitely been paying more attention to magazines and newspapers and TV surveys and whatnot. And I feel like a lot of things are really far-fetched. And
mm-hmm.
it's definitely made me more aware of things that are going on.
Okay.
So, yeah.
So was there anything that you saw in this chapter that, like, enlightened you? Or you said, oh, yeah, I get that. Or, oh, I didn't know that.
I guess it's just, like, how, like, this is an art. This is, like, a language that you have to, like, study and
mm-hmm.
be good at in order to, like, deceive people and, like, into buying the product or, like, doing a certain thing. This
mm-hmm.
is all just, it's kind of like an industry.
Yeah.
So... Yeah.
True. Made me realize, like, what you said about it being an art form and an industrial type thing. I definitely think that there are tons of corporations and companies and businesses that, like, whose sole, like, intention and moneymaker are the stats that prove that whatever they're selling or their product
mm-hmm.
is superior to another, or that it is the best out of everything.
Mm-hmm.
If you notice, a lot of like toothpaste brands do that. Like, if you've ever seen Colgate commercial, any commercial, it's always like them comparing them to another and saying,
yeah.
oh, one out of this many people or five out of this many people like this product more than the other.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing with cleaning products that usually have, like, I don't know, like,
what's
Tide versus
yeah.
generic brand, and compare the two. And I personally think that it makes sense to that, because when you're in a really competitive market where...
You're trying to make yourself look better.
Yeah, when someone else has a really similar product to yours, or you sell something that's essentially the same thing as another, you're going to do anything you can to make yours stand out.
Mm-hmm.
So... it's, and instead of just saying, oh, mine's is better because it looks better,
yeah.
you have math, quotations over math, to back it up.
Yep. True.
So, yeah, I think that is all we have to say about chapter 9.
Mm-hmm.
It was pretty cool.
Yeah.
And I guess we'll see you in the last chapter, chapter 10.
Yeah.
Bye.
Hi.
So we're back with chapter 10. It is called How to Talk Back to a Statistic.
Mm-hmm.
This is our last chapter review.
Yay.
We're going to conclude the book after this and, I guess, reflect, maybe. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
And so basically this chapter covers on how to recognize when being cheated by a statistic by using 5 questions when
yeah.
you're looking at it.
So the questions are, who says so?
How does he know?
What's missing?
Did somebody change the subject?
And does it make sense?
Yeah. So I guess we can, like, you know, we don't want to take super long with this, but
mm-hmm.
we can, like, quickly go over them. So okay. for the who says so, it...
The first thing to look for is a bias.
Yeah.
So,
Look who says it.
Yeah.
And it says to watch out for names that are, like, okay names.
Mm-hmm.
And those are, like, doctors, medical professionals, professors, universities.
Yeah. If you were to do, like, a study on, like, let's say, like... are conservatives crazy,
mm-hmm.
and you were to go to, like, liberals and have them answer the survey, of course, like, there will be bias.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah, also, they say these okay names, like, people look at them and they consider them like a representation of authority. Mm-hmm. And people are like, oh, this doctor said it, so they must be right. They're a certified professional, or this, you know, university said it, or the scientist said it, so they must know what they talk about.
Mm-hmm.
Remember the Princeton study about they asked like whether they think blacks have as much
equal chance of
getting a job than whites do.
Yeah.
That was from Princeton, and people thought that was from Princeton. And
mm-hmm.
so, of course, they're like, oh, you know, Princeton's right. This is the law. This is what gospel is. So, basically, they're saying, look out for these names because, and make sure that the authority
mm-hmm.
is standing with the information and not next to it.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Amen.
Next is, how does he know? And that means to look out for evidence of a biased sample.
Mm-hmm.
So if something was improperly selected or it selected itself,
yeah.
just look out for that. And
yeah. look for measures of that look like they're reliable to you.
Yeah, and also like look if like the sample is large enough to like
mm-hmm.
to draw any conclusion. Because if you ask like three people, oh, hey, are apples better than oranges? And two of them say it's best. You'd say, oh, two out of three people, that's like what? I think around 60%, 66%, whatever. More, you could say, oh, more than half the population says that apples are better than oranges.
Now, what you should say is that when we interview two out of three people, the two out of three people said that the apples are better than oranges, instead of like representing
yeah.
that as a whole.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to be careful with that language.
Yeah, because they could, when they say two out of three people, they could literally just ask two out of three people.
Yes.
And
mm-hmm.
that would be kind of embarrassing.
Mm-hmm.
Also, you never know, one of the factors could be that the person didn't like the apple or the orange. They might just be allergic to it.
Yeah.
So you never know.
And another thing, like when you're looking for like, how do you know? Is to like see if this case study makes any like significant difference, or is it like really significant to anything?
Yeah,
because a lot of things I'm talking about, like a lot of these surveys and these studies are bullcrap.
Yeah,
and mean nothing.
Mm-hmm.
They just
totally.
Do it because they have money.
Yeah.
So.
Okay. I guess we can move on to the next one.
What's missing? Yeah.
You may not be given all the information that is needed. Like,
mm-hmm.
that should be a red flag alone that, hey, this study or this information is not something that you should, like, I should really be taking seriously.
Yeah. So look up for the averages.
So, like, an example would be, like,
the averages.
The
oh, wait.
Hold on.
Mm-hmm.
The correlation given, with the, giving a correlation without, like, probable or statistical error.
Yeah.
That shouldn't be taken seriously because it's, like, how was it that perfect, though?
Mm-hmm.
Also, watch out for situations with averages.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, like, the averages, like what we talked about in the other chapters, it's very tricky because they can either give you the mean, median, or mode. And, like, some cases, like, the median or the mean works out in one case, but it may not work out in another case. And it all applies to all of those averages. So I would say, like, the best thing to have is all the averages. And, like, make sure, like, whatever study that you're watching or, you know, reading covers all of those averages. And the percentages.
Yeah.
You want to make sure those are whole and complete, like we said in the other chapter.
Mm-hmm.
Like, don't let, if they're rounding them, then it may not be good. It's better if they just leave the number the way it is.
Yeah. Also, sometimes there will be a factor that, the exact factor that created the change is being
mm-hmm.
left out. So that would be, the intent would be, it would imply that another thing is more desirable than the thing that created the change, which is not true.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, when wanting to lie or
make something look better,
that's what you do.
Mm-hmm. They're trying to, like, it's biased in a way because they're coming up, they're trying to prove why something is related to something else or something called something else
mm-hmm.
when it's completely biased. And they're not taking, and they're being closed-minded and not taking into account other factors that influenced it.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And the next would be, did somebody change the subject?
Yeah.
Watch out for switches between the raw data and the conclusion.
Yep.
Once sometimes, you know, one of these may be reported as the other, when the actual topic itself is completely, like, different.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. And the last one is, does it make sense? So, the statistics always often cuts down the size when the whole idea is based on an unproven assumption.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, because of that, you want to use common sense.
Yeah.
Lots of
it's content. Like, are you? Am I drawing a conclusion? Was the conclusion being drawn because it's actually factually accurate and all of the variables and the samples and everything makes sense and they tie in together?
Mm-hmm.
Or is the question or the conclusion being based off an assumption? Or am I just assuming things come together
mm-hmm.
when there actually may or may not be any sort of relationship or correlation between anything at all?
Yeah.
So you really have to watch out for that and ask yourself, does any of this make actual sense?
Yeah. I feel like now that, like, statistical data is, like, on the rise, like, these studies are on the rise,
mm-hmm.
I feel like a lot, like, at the time where, you know, back in, like, the 50s and whatnot,
uh-huh.
where, like, TV was, you know, really prevalent in everyone's lives because it was a new way to, like,
yeah.
reach the mass and whatnot. So I feel like statistical data was used a lot during the time because, like, people really relied on TV back in the days. Like, there was besides the radio and the newspaper, that was the main source of entertainment and, like, getting information and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like statistical data, I don't know if it's a proven fact, but I feel like it's been used through TV during those time periods when it was able to deceive people in the type of way. Especially since, like, you know, a lot of TV back in the day was mind control
mm-hmm.
in a way because, I feel like because people didn't have these other outlets, you know, they didn't have internet and whatnot. So, yeah, a lot of people were dependent, especially, like, the youth, and they would have, like, these programs. Wait, there was something that I was watching. I don't know, like how they sell the products.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, how they sell the products. And, like, they were talking about, like, this is the best brand of cigarettes owned. And
yeah.
there was, like, this old, like, it was, like, this old commercial.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, you know that cigarettes are horrible for you, but this guy's just sitting there smoking. He's a comedian and whatnot. He's just smoking. He's like, you guys should get these cigarettes. They're so good and whatnot.
Yeah. Also, if you think about it, like, around those times in, like, movies, like, smoking cigarettes was, like, really glamorized. Like,
mm-hmm.
all the main characters would smoke, and they would make it look like something that's, you know, glamorous or,
yeah.
or it makes you look cool.
Mm-hmm.
But then, like, nowadays, you don't really see, like,
mm-hmm.
characters, like, main characters' movies smoke as much.
Yeah.
Or if they do smoke, it's not, like, heavily focused on.
Yeah.
So,
like, I feel like, and those, and based off of this, and those studies that they're coming out with nowadays saying, like, take a wine and glass a day to reduce your heart or prevent heart disease, like, maybe if TV, I'm jumping to conclusions and assumptions, but, like, maybe if TV didn't persuade people to smoke back in the 50s, maybe you wouldn't have, like, a high rate of lung disease and heart
yeah.
disease, so.
That's cool.
Yeah.
So, before we end our podcast,
mm-hmm.
our review of Chapter 10, we want to bring it back to the beginning
yeah.
and talk about the introduction.
Mm-hmm.
Introduction's pretty short, but basically it's the author references a quote from his father.
Mm-hmm.
He's talking about crime in their area, our neighborhood, and he was saying that, oh, this, like, neighborhood's, like, dangerous or it's bad because of the crime or whatever. But he said that while he was reading it out of the newspaper. And I guess this is what, like, inspired the author to write the book. And he basically says that, you know, what you read or hear is, like, not, they're not always what they seem.
Yeah.
And that their value can be greater or lesser than what meets the eye. In the introduction, he's basically talking about, he's, like, prepping you to find out how exactly these certified, okay-named people
mm-hmm.
Easily trick readers into
yeah.
believing their statistical findings.
He talks about the language.
Yeah.
So this is, like,
so
it's a love language, kind of, in a way.
Yeah.
It knocks you off your feet and blinds you.
Yeah. So one of the things that we had to do was pick a quote from inside the cover and, like, talk about how it relates to the introduction.
Mm-hmm.
And the quote that I picked, I think it was the first one, and it was by Disraeli, and it says, there are three kinds of lies, damned lies, and statistics. I personally think that this relates to the introduction because it brings up that statistics are like lies in which they intend to deceive in order to coax the audience to one side. In the introduction, you're introduced to the father,
yeah,
who reads some stats from the newspaper and automatically assumes that their town is filled with crime, when actually the crime report that he was reading, they weren't even talking about the same region. They were talking about somewhere else within the state, I guess.
Yeah.
But
the quote that I like is, it ain't so much the things we don't know that gets us in trouble, it's the things that we do know that ain't so. So, basically he's saying, it's like, you know, sometimes don't you know how things that you don't know can get you in trouble? Just like saying, oh, I didn't know I had to do my homework, so therefore I'm in trouble.
Uh-huh.
But it's also the things that we do know, based off of, you know, where we get our information from,
uh-huh,
that can get us in trouble, because this information that we know, that we feel like in our hearts is true, it's not so. It's all based off of biased information that we got from other sources, and we didn't know that it wasn't true. So
that's deep.
Yeah.
Deep.
Yep. By, what is his name? Artemis Ward. That sounds like a Transformers name, but yeah.
Okay.
That's mm-hmm. cool.
Yeah.
So we finished the book.
Mm-hmm. It's very interesting.
It's been a real ride with you, Tiara, and I'm so happy that it was you that decided to do this with me. I feel like this was a great experience. Did you have fun reading the book? Was that a thing? Did you learn something? Did you feel like you absorbed information that was valuable to you?
I definitely did.
Me too.
I'm going to be careful with Fox News and other news media sources. And
I feel like now I'm going to be looking at every single statistic that I ever see and be like,
is this true?
Well, how did you find that out? Mm-hmm. Who says that's right?
They probably asked their grandmother, what does she think?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But all in all, that was cool.
Yeah. I feel like statistics is very tricky because no matter where you go, you're always gonna have a bias.
True.
I'm dead serious. Unless you're interviewing like monkeys or something.
Yeah.
So no matter where you go, you're always gonna have that bias.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's scary in a way. Because there's always outside influences. Like, just like I was saying, like, I was just thinking about, like, the other day, like, if I'm in a dentist's office and, like, the dentist asks you how many times do you brush your teeth a day.
Oh, I'd be lying so hard.
I'd be lying. I'd be like, 3 times a day. And I'm like,
I brush twice, but, like, my dentist never asked me how many times I brush. Mm-hmm. They're just like, how many times do you floss?
Yeah, I don't floss at all.
I probably floss the day I have to go to the dentist. Exactly. And then I'll be like, oh my god, I wonder why it's bleeding.
Exactly. So
I'll be like, oh my god, I floss. I don't know what you're talking about. Guys.
So, yeah, like, so is it, everything is, like, really biased. Especially if I was giving my opinion on something. And, like, my opinion outweighed, like, you know, what the survey was. So, I don't know. I feel like even I would be biased. So.
Cool, that's cool. So, I guess that's the end, like the super end,
mm-hmm.
like super glue end, the official end of our podcast series.
It's a wrap, yo.
I'm gonna wrap it up. Thank you for listening.
Yes.
Hope you appreciate it.
Yep. Bye.
I'm Lindsay. Goodbye forever.
Wait, we gotta act like we're in the 50s, and it's like the news broadcast thing, like newsroom. So, hi, I'm Tia Rebel, and I'm glad you had a good time.
I'm Lindsay Jones. Thanks for listening, and good night.
Good night.